Back in on Canuck Central, it's the Kintech Studio, Dan Riccio and Bick Nizar. Satyar Shah, with day off, is a little bit under the weather. We hope him a speedy recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear from Sat soon. JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no-obligation quote. Visit janpro.ca. Did I see what I think I just saw?
Ovi scored again.
Fifth
goal of the week.
Man, I've never had a take blow up in my face as badly as the Ovi one has.
Fifth goal of the week. At least I thought
it would have been, like, you know, down to the wire. The moment I said this guy's not going to beat Gretzky's record, he scores five goals in his next three games.
Didn't realize Ovi listens to 650. That's awesome. He got motivated, man. And looking spry to beat Teravainen to that back post there. By the way, can I just...
I don't know. Spry does not come to mind with 38-year-old Alex Ovechkin.
Can I just quickly take people behind the scenes here?
Yeah.
Dead silence in the break between Reach and I, right? Not that we're beefing or anything like that.
No.
But it was silence. And out of nowhere, Reach goes, you ever notice how when Carolina-Washington play, the acronyms are car wash? So you got me thinking the rest of the break. You were still talking. I was thinking about this the rest of the way. Other pairing acronyms with Carolina. You can actually get a couple of women's names here. Carolina and LA.
Yes.
Carla. Carolina, Minnesota. Carmen.
Yes.
And then
a little bit of a different spelling on Carmen. But
you can find new ways to spell it.
Carmine.
Carolina, Ottawa.
Yeah.
Carrot.
Oh, very nice.
And also, this one takes a little bit of work, but New Jersey and Carolina, it's Carnage. So there you go. Put some work in the break.
That's good to know.
Plus Van Car, obviously.
Van Car?
Or Car Van.
What's a Van Car?
Well, you could say, well, look at that Car Van go back. Caravan.
I was just saying Car Wash, and what's a Van Car?
I don't know.
All right. If you got any other 650, 650. All right, let's get to the mailbag. Elon.
What a way to lead into that, Vic.
Carnage.
All right, guys. Rank these positives from last night's win. Number one, secondary scoring. Number two, Juulsen's defensive play. And number three, Casey DeSmith having another strong game.
I think the secondary scoring is number one for me.
Ooh, interesting.
Because ultimately, Juulsen still lines up as the seventh D for the playoffs. I think his emergence settles like, hey, we've got a guy that we can plug in for minimum price at the start of next year on right shot defense. That sounds great to me. So that's awesome. But I think the secondary scoring part is the biggest thing for me.
Noah Juulsen for me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Has this massive PK role. Did that thing last night where he baited the pass to the back post. Maybe the Smith got it, but he was there, and he tipped it away. And the fact that, like, if
another six hits.
If an injury presents itself, I'm less concerned about the one injury on the blue line all of a sudden.
Juulsen is a menace out there. He's like the Canucks version of Jacob Trouba, just for a very specific. Very much smaller cost.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but yeah.
But I just mean as sort of the blue line marshal.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, you want to come down on me? I'm probably going to step up and hit you pretty good. So you better be ready for it. And there's not too many guys like that in the league anymore. As far as Casey DeSmith, I'd probably put it at three because I think DeSmith has played well all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly... Like, the reason the Canucks have had two good goaltenders this year for much of the season is the way they play in front of their goaltenders. So, that's how I would rank him.
Austin and Langley is wondering if Archer Seelovs will make at least one start during this homestand.
During the homestand, I would say no.
I'd like to see one.
You would like to see one?
Yeah. Not just because I want to see Archer Seelovs, just because I think it's the right thing to do.
The Anaheim game?
At the very least, Anaheim.
Well, if you're not doing it tomorrow against Calgary...
Your next chance is Anaheim.
Your next chance is Anaheim. Like, you're not doing it against LA. You're not doing it against Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next one would be against the Anaheim Ducks. Other than that, You're probably looking at the next back-to-back, which is Vegas, Arizona, both on the road, April 2nd, 3rd. That's the one where it happens. Other than that, I don't think it happens.
In Mullet Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest in Richmond, what is more likely to be the biggest downfall of the Canucks in the playoffs? The power play, the penalty kill, or 5-on-5 scoring?
I think it might be the power play.
I agree with you, but it seems crazy to say that. It's probably 5-on-5 scoring, but...
Okay. So I'm starting to have this logic about Vegas. Like, Vegas has been a bang average team for 50 games this season.
Mm-hmm.
They are 500 for 50 games. So why should I think that they're much more than that? They had a hot start to the season, and then they've been bang average ever since.
And so the Canucks power play has been
the Canucks power play was off to a great start at the beginning of the season, and they've been bang average ever since. So I think the power play could be the downfall.
Yeah, I'm with you. Because at least the 5-on-5 is they're fantastic defensively. So can you just be better than the other team at 5v5?
Yeah.
But if you're not getting goals on the power play, it's a lot of pressure on your PK.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as if they have a top-end PK.
No.
From Jay, which team has the potential to have the same turnaround as the Canucks have had this year?
Oh, for next year?
For next season.
So a similar turnaround. I think... So New Jersey feels like an easy answer.
Yeah, but like they had hope and expectation this year.
Yeah.
You know what? It's easy. Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Yeah. If they're going to be good this next stretch here to the end of the season, Byram pairs as the Hronik move.
No.
Obviously on a different scale, but nevertheless. If they improve defensively these last 12 games, 11 games, I'll say Buffalo.
I kind of, like, I don't really have a better answer. I want to say somebody else. New Jersey, I feel like, doesn't really apply.
Mm-mm.
Like, they were an up-and-coming team last year, and they've just kind of taken a step back this year.
Seattle won a round last year, so...
Yeah.
Different realities.
There isn't really anybody in the Central.
I guess it'd be Minnesota, but...
No.
They've been to the playoffs before. The Blues, this might be as good as it gets for the Blues.
The Coyotes, I guess. But even then...
But who wants to root for the Coyotes? Because at least the beginning part of the season, there was some national praise. Like, oh, Vancouver, like, good for them.
Yeah.
Is anybody rooting for the Coyotes after the next chapter of the stadium fiasco?
No.
I had a moment this year when they were kind of hanging around 7th, the first wild card.
Yeah.
It's like, I hope they make it. And then they faded out, completely dropped out. Now this next arena, it's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with the Coyotes story.
So done.
They have cool players. I'm not even rooting for them.
I was done in 2012.
Yeah. But like, I part of me wanted to be like, oh, Logan Cooley and Clayton Keller and Sean Dears. Don't care. I feel bad. I just do not care about the franchise at all.
So the other answer is the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
I think...
Well, yeah, what's your level of belief in that, though?
Very, very small. But one of the things... Like, both Buffalo and Ottawa have this in common. There's a lot of talent on those teams, much like there was a lot of talent on the Vancouver Canucks. And they just need a coach to deliver the right message.
There's some love for Ottawa coming in the inbox.
Like, you're telling me a team with Stützle and Tkachuk and Shabbat and all these guys can't figure out how to play the game on a more even keel? Like, they are very similar to the Canucks in that they just can't. They try to hit a home run on every shift. They do all of those cliches that we've gotten tired of hearing from Rick Tocchet. That's the Ottawa Senators. And Jacques Martin has been trying to drill it into them, but they still do it. Their puck management is awful. They give up too many rush chances going back the other way. And it, as much as Jonas Korpisalo is bad, they don't help him much either. Buffalo, you can at least say that they've started to defend a little bit better as the season's gone on. Ottawa is still having a lot of trouble.
The question everyone's wondering, did Tom Wilson deserve more than a 6-game suspension?
Cool.
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. He swung his stick. even if it was inadvertent,
yeah,
your reputation carries with you in this moment here. You swung your stick into the dome of a guy, right into his grill.
I think 6 was the bare minimum they could have given him.
Yeah. Right? I'm not overly complaining about this, because if it was shorter, then I would have said, but you could have convinced me anywhere from 8 to 15.
It wasn't...
I'm still mad about like the Pietrangelo slash in the playoffs last
year.
Yeah,
it wasn't... And that... What did that get? One game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Consistency. Like, it wasn't McSorley on Brashear, obviously.
Because there's, like, there was intent.
Yeah, there was big-time intent on McSorley. Like, the only thing that helped Wilson is, like, he immediately was like, what did I just do? And maybe that was a reflex.
But it's part of your nature. This is what you do.
Yes.
Anyways.
But 6 was the absolute bare minimum he could have got. Other than that, like, couldn't have been less.
Apparently suspensions are the new thing to motivate your guys, because it's 3-3 Washington and Carolina.
Yeah,
here.
Sonny Milano just scored a great goal, and then the Capitals gave it right back. I still can't believe they didn't give Josh Manson anything.
Stunned.
For the hit on JT Miller. And it was on Hockey Night in Canada. It's like, it's not like nobody saw that. It was really one of the most baffling things that happened this year.
Apparently, if you just act remorseful on the ice, you're good.
Yeah.
Would Lindholm, Joshua, and Mikheyev be the best third line in the NHL?
Lindholm, Joshua, Mikheyev. That would be pretty good.
I mean...
Lindholm, Joshua, Garland might be better, though.
To me, best also implies you're scoring goals, though.
That line wouldn't score goals.
Lindholm, Joshua, and...
Mikheyev.
Yeah, I feel comfortable saying what I said.
It's so funny, the rhetoric between... Oh my God, Joshua's having this incredible year versus Mikheyev, who's having an awful year, and they basically have the same amount of goals.
But now they'd have to be like the primary engineers on that line.
Yeah. I think Lindholm, Joshua, Garland would be a really interesting third line. Also, Hockey Reference is just mad with their nicknames.
Oh, yeah.
Since when is Ilya Mikheyev the Cobra? Who named him Cobra?
I have a fun one for you if you want to look it up here. Toby Enstrom, right?
Yeah.
Go look up Toby Enstrom. I want to do this live.
Toby Enstrom? What could possibly be Toby Enstrom's nickname? Toby?
It says Toby as a nickname. Makes no sense. I don't understand. His name says Toby Enstrom, and then the nickname parentheses says Toby again. How can the name be the nickname? I stumbled upon this one a couple of weeks ago.
Toby Enstrom?
Yeah.
Why were you looking at Toby Enstrom's Hockey Reference page?
You know who's a contract comparable for Philip Hronek?
Toby Enstrom?
Toby Enstrom.
You guys mean Toby?
Yeah. Yeah, just Toby. Nikolai Ehlers?
Just Toby.
Like Nikolai, Seal.
The Electric Eel.
Okay, all right.
Nobody calls him that in an NHL room. No chance. All right,
well, speaking of rabbit holes, Discount Dracula asks, have you ever gone down a YouTube rabbit hole and watched old NHL games?
No.
No, not full games, no.
Honestly, I can't watch any more old NHL games after COVID.
Oh.
When we watched all the vintage games, I was just like, I'm done with this, okay? I'm done with watching guys just like ski through the neutral zone, hang on to somebody's hip and follow along with them. And it was just like, no, I'm good. I can't believe Pavel Bure had to deal with this. And he still scored how many goals? This is insane. I'm good.
Yeah.
Vintage hockey, overrated.
What about other sports?
I'll watch certain like Man United games and certain Seahawks games, but not...
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't watch... I don't know how many like full games I'll watch.
What if it's the condensed version?
I can do the condensed version, not the full game. I also like those like World Cup recaps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
those
are
always fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I'll watch those. But like old NHL games, they're a tough watch. Some like more recent games are really good
too.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Like if you. I don't know, game seven of Pittsburgh and Detroit and in 09.
Yeah.
And Marc-Andre Fleury's making all those crazy saves at the end. Like, there's some great games, but I don't know. So, I got my fix during COVID.
Going into tomorrow night, what are your expectations for the Vancouver Whitecaps this season? They are currently at 2 wins, 1 draw, 0 losses.
It's their, like, best start ever in franchise history.
Something Vanny wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
Improve the starts.
It is their last game without Vanny on the sidelines, as his suspension got reduced. But my expectation for the Whitecaps is, like, be a playoff team. But ultimately, I still... They're just... Until they sign... Like, Ryan Gauld's a really good player. And among the better players in Major League Soccer. It's just hard for me to see a team that spends in the bottom half of the league end up winning. And that's where I have a hard time fully buying into what the Whitecaps have done. But I will say they've had a lot of success in these last couple of years with Axel Schuster. Also a big game tomorrow, Canada and Trinidad and Tobago. Canada needs to win to get a spot in Copa America this summer and potential chance of playing against Lionel Messi.
All right, guys, with spring officially underway, what's your favorite springtime activity?
Springtime activity? Golf.
Watching playoff hockey.
And golf and watching great sports. That sounds so lame.
Yeah.
But like...
I'm not a big hobby guy, that's the problem.
Masters, playoff hockey...
March Madness.
Playoff March basketball... Madness. March Madness.
Three weeks away from Masters?
I'm not the biggest.
13th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not
NFL
the biggest
draft.
March Madness
NFL
guy.
NFL draft. You're not a big March Madness guy?
No.
Man. My bracket's getting crushed. Although I haven't lost any Elite Eight teams, so I'm all right.
How's your bracket doing, Elon?
Ah, it's cooked.
There we are.
I made my girlfriend do a bracket, and she's currently leading the Sportsnet 650 bracket.
Let's go. Shout out. Spring activities? Yeah. Just too much going on.
Too much going on. Too much sports.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already dabbled. So, yes, golf. Golf will be back into the activity list. There was one that came into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, and I wanted to get to it because Pick and I were discussing it at the break.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mailbag / guys, name, and dudes. Elon and Vic, you guys are free to be a part of this. Top players that are equally known for playing with at least two different teams. My first, I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought is Vincent Domfus.
I came up with so many, and you're like, Vincent Domfus.
Man, he was unreal for
both San Jose and
Montreal.
He was. But like the San Jose one like doesn't really... Like, I remember that he played for San Jose.
Yeah, he was great.
He was good.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, the first name I'm thinking of.
And don't hate on Vinny Domfus.
The first name I thought of was Brett Hull.
Yeah, that's three teams, I guess.
Yeah. Randy Moss.
Yeah.
I went outside of hockey as well for a couple of these.
Kurt Warner. Would you count Arizona as well?
You know what? That's a good shout. Yeah. Peyton Manning.
I guess Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
They all apply.
Well, he won a championship.
Yeah.
The reason we brought up Tom Brady, because it was a short run in Tampa Bay, but he won a championship. The other one, the one I pitched to you, Raymond Bark.
Mm. But he just...
Won a cup.
I don't know. He had the cup of tea with Colorado.
Yeah, but it was a cup of tea. Stanley Cup.
I feel like Ray Bourque is one of the most underappreciated like legends of hockey.
Totally. But it's such a span in Boston.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this guy can... Can we get this guy a cup? Can we get this guy a cup? So he wins a cup in Colorado. It's like, oh, I remember him for Colorado, too.
Yeah.
It's very memorable.
Mm-hmm. LeBron.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one.
Shaq.
Yeah.
Shaq.
Shaq, definitely.
That's a good, yeah. I got a bunch here. Brian Trottier.
Oh, yeah.
Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah.
Larry Murphy.
Rod the Bod.
Larry Dion
Murphy.
Yeah. Deion Sanders.
I thought you were going to say Deion Phaneuf.
Atlanta Braves, Deion Sanders?
Stop it.
Atlanta Braves,
Both
Deion
of you guys
Sanders?
Need to calm down here. Deion Phaneuf?
So,
up there with like
okay.
the greats?
So as Bick and I were discussing this,
yeah,
I mentioned Deion Sanders as an Atlanta Brave. And he said, and then I said, Chris Wanky is the real prime time because he played with the Blue Jays and had the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. And Bick was like, yeah, Florida State Seminole teammates. I'm like, you're a sicko. How do you know that he played with the Florida State Seminoles?
I just knew. But they weren't teammates.
No.
But, yeah, he was a Seminole. Chris Wanky.
It's a real sicko moment.
When was the last time you thought of Chris Wanky?
Today.
Yeah. For the people how come you guys not mentioning Roberto Luongo? It's because the original text had Roberto Luongo in it.
Yes.
But Scott Niedermeyer, yes, good shout.
Chris Chelios.
Hmm. Yeah. The Joe Thornton one, was Boston memorable?
No, Boston wasn't really memorable for him. He was kind of thought of as a bit of a bust.
They kind of ran him out of town.
With the Bruins.
Oh, Joe Pavelski. Sounds like.
Yeah, current one.
Having a fantastic run in Dallas.
I like that. I like that a lot. All right, that's going to do it for us. We got a long day ahead of us tomorrow. Canucks and Calgary Flames. It's an ultimate revenge game scenario. Lindholm and Zadorov against the Calgary Flames. Kuzmenko, first time back at Rogers Arena. We'll be on pregame, 6 o'clock. Then you have Bick and myself for intermissions and postgame as well with Sat out on the shelf. Brendan Batchelor, Randeep Janda calling the game from Rogers Arena tomorrow night. For producers Vic and Elon, my co-host Bick, I'm Dan. You've been listening to Canuck Central.